Ever wonder why 95% of leads do not convert? Why cold call rates are down and prospects don't open our emails? Why our responses of robocalls and implanting pixels to track user interaction, mostly without permission, is backfiring spectacularly? Well, that's what we intend to find out here in the Buyerside Chat podcast. There are scores of podcasts about selling, but most miss the shift that has come upon the buying-selling process. The initiative has since moved from the supply to the demand side. The Buyerside Chat, your podcast of record for B2B buying, talks to actual buyers, persons, not personas, in the quest to understand the real buyer's journey, their trials and tribulations, challenges and outcomes they're striving for. Welcome to the Buyerside Chat. Thank you for your time and for joining us on this session. I have a favor to ask. While you continue to listen to the podcast, please leave a comment or rating at iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. I personally look at each comment and will give a shout out to each of you in our next episodes. It means a lot to hear from you. Today we have with us VP Srivastava, Consultant IoT Business Unit, Tata Communications, and ex-Chief IT, Tata Steel. VP comes with 40 plus years of experience of managing digital solutions at Tata Steel, ranging from formulation of digital strategy through execution and running digital systems operations.
At that time, it was single vendor kind of a solution, or maybe IT infrastructure, you can say hardware, software, everything was being bought from a single source. So if you buy a mainframe, you are getting everything from that. So it was not buying from multiple sources. You buy a hardware, you get operating system. So you get operating system, you also get database system, you get maintenance tools. So everything in one basket. Buying was so simple. So if you buy once, then rest is the application part was all created by custom built solutions. So that was the scenario. As we moved on towards the new century and Y2K, and after that, most of the people started going into the ERP systems, and it was not a single vendor solution. Different component starters becoming available from different sources. So you can buy hardware from somewhere, you can buy database from somewhere, you can have operating system from somewhere else, application from somewhere else. Also, the business application, it is not one application which will be able to solve all the problems. So you have different kind of application. You have ERP, then you have CRM, you have supply chain. So variety and all these procurements, they started becoming very critical to the business.
VP Srivastava is currently a consultant, IoT Business Unit, Tata Communications, and ex-chief IT, Tata Steel. VP comes with 40 plus years of experience of managing digital solutions at Tata Steel, ranging from formulation of digital strategy through execution and running digital systems operations. He played key roles in deriving business value by appropriate use of digital technology while working with global partners such as Gartner for business-driven IT strategy, PwC SAP for ERP, Microsoft for Office 365, Deloitte and EY for cybersecurity and software asset management, IBM for Business Intelligence, AI/ML, e-learning and cloud infrastructure, Accenture Tata Communications for human health and safety related IoT solutions using wearables in industrial environment, and TCS ServiceNow for service management solution. VP got his BTech from IIT Kanpur and is a postgraduate in financial management. Now, onto this insightful conversation with VP Srivastava. VP, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Sarkar. It's my pleasure to be part of this talk.
So let's dive in. How, over the last several decades of your interacting with vendors, how do you see the buying-selling process has changed?
Yeah, so if I, it is rightly mentioned that I will take it for last 40 years and divide in two parts, say two decades of previous century and two decades of this, and midpoint about 99 or Y2K, you can say.
Right.
So before that, it was mostly custom-built applications, and also when we started about 80s, as it was only data center. So today we talk about 2020 Internet of Things, or maybe it is 4 or 5 years back as well, where internet has come and things are getting connected anywhere, any place, any time. And at that time, nothing was connected, whether it is in the same place or same time, it was nothing was connected, it was all isolated. So from nothing connected to everything connected, this is the kind of broad spectrum we are looking at. Another element which was at that time and now, the difference is that at that time, things were being mostly, it was single vendor kind of a solution, or maybe the IT infrastructure, you can say hardware, software, everything was being bought from a single source. So if you buy a mainframe, you are getting everything from that. So it was not buying from multiple sources. You buy a hardware, you get operating system, maintenance tools, so everything in one basket. Buying was so simple. So if you buy once, then rest is, the application part was all created by custom built solutions. So that was the scenario. So what was happening that the buying was mostly, say, one time buy, if you say that was maybe kind of a strategic buy. But once you have purchased that, it's like buying a machine and it is for maybe 10 years. Then after that, whatever is to run it, those procurements are mostly buying some component. It's just like buying a car and after that just putting and the buying of the petrol, as anybody knows, or buying of the spares is like buying a transactional buying.
Correct.
And the switching cost was not so high in that sense. Like you buy a petrol from one petrol pump or you can buy from another petrol pump, it doesn't make any difference. So similarly, most of the time in the computers or in IT field, we are buying mostly the operational consumables and maybe the spare part you are buying from the same manufacturer who has sold it. And those days, most of the components are, say, imported at that time, and you have single source, you have the price list, and once you have decided the strategic buy, that is buying the first computer at the first place, then for next year, 10 years, maybe you are already married and you have to continue buying from the same.
Right, right.
As we moved on towards the new century and Y2K, and after that, most of the people started going into the ERP systems and new way of working has started. It was not a single vendor solution. Different component starts becoming available from different sources. So you can buy hardware from somewhere, you can buy database from somewhere, you can have operating system from somewhere else, application from somewhere else. Also, the business application, it is not one application which will be able to solve all the problems. So you have different kind of application. You have ERP, then you have CRM, you have supply chain. So variety, and there are only two choices. One is that you have selective best of breed kind of solution, or you can have one stop solution, then you can buy from one source. But in that, there may be a chance that one source may have, say, 10 products, but maybe 3 products are best. Other 3 are maybe mediocre and other 4 maybe are the poorest one. So if you want to make, simple life in future, from maintenance and support point of view, go for a single source solution. But if you want to have a best of everything and all the applications so that it meets the requirement, then you have to go for selective, purchases of best of breed procurement. Mm-hmm. And all these procurements, they started becoming very critical to the business. So that is another change which started happening. So earlier, all the systems were mostly, as we started, was if you put all the application or business support systems in, say, 3 categories. One, what runs the business.
Hmm.
I mean, your business runs on itself. That means if it stops, the business stops. Like, for example, taking example of the banking system, that if computer stops, the bank will stop, the ATM will stop, so the business cannot continue. The other one is that where it is a support system, that it is giving some kind of enabler, but the business can continue. So it gives some information, some decision support system, etc. Like manufacturing, it is giving some predictive analytics, or it is giving some kind of information which guides people to make the decision, but it is not directly running the system. It is an enabler, or maybe right. you are issuing some material, or you are doing some buying or selling, inventory management. These are, I mean, like support systems. And something which happens maybe once in a month or something like that, like payroll processing, etc., which is, I mean, it is not even happening on the real time. It happens once in a month type or once in 6 months time, etc. So the criticality and the business impact is highest when it is running the business.
Correct.
So the shift has started coming that the business is run through this. So therefore, the criticality of the business and dependency of the business on IT has become very high. So therefore, the buying decision has two components. One, what is the time duration of the impact? It is a short term or it is long term? And the second is how much impact it has on the business. So if both are high, that means it is a long term and it is also very high business impact, then in that case, this procurement becomes highly strategic.
Right.
It cannot be transactional. When you are doing the strategy buy, then it becomes that long-term procurement. So it has got a long-term impact and there is no switchover, say, or very high switchover cost. Another difference was that also the earlier we are mostly buying the physical products. As I said, consumables like printer cartridges or say magnetic tapes, etc., which has physical objects and it were possible to define it very clearly that this is what I want, which can be physically seen, it can be physically tested, and it could be accepted and you make a payment. You can easily compare. Talking about these kind of situation when the strategic buy has started coming, then we are buying mostly the services, which is not a physical object.
Correct.
So defining the services, the physical objects can be inspected, compared, and accepted. But when it comes to the service, it is only the written text. If you want to see something, physical evidence, if I say that, can you do these 10 things? So first is that my definition itself may not be 100% complete, because when I define 10 things, still there will be 90 things which I am not able to define.
True.
So it is like defining a person, for example, or defining a painting, that this is what the painting I want, or this is the decoration I want, interior decoration. It is not easy to define, because as you progress, then things also keep changing and your mind also keeps changing. So therefore, it is like defining a service that I want to get my home decorated, or I want to do a CRM solution, I want to have this ERP solution, I want to have a marketing solution. But the definition by which the other person can create is very difficult to put down in very detailed terms, which is understood by everybody, and it is not possible to miss anything. So that is the first thing, that defining itself is not 100%. The second is the comparison. When the competitive bidding is happening, there are vendors who will be coming. They may have understood and they may say, I will do it. The other category could be not understood, but to be in the race can say, I can do it. But we have no method of knowing that who is telling correctly or who is not telling correctly. It will be known only after you have awarded the contract. After you have gone in the project for say 6 months, by the time it is already too late, if it is made a mistake, you have lost the time which cannot be recovered. So therefore, it requires a different kind of buying mechanism or the buying process. So what has evolved in the strategic buying process is that we will have some organizations and we will be doing this planning, and that is why the architecture came. That first you define that what you want to have in your IT architecture, which is application, database, operating system, information security, cyber security, which has now come in for last 4 or 5 years, so has become very important element as well.
Yes.
End computing, network. So all these building blocks, if they are 10 building blocks, you define that, okay, my IT house or the business IT infrastructure will have these components. Structure will have these components. Then for each component, one has to define what will be my accepted technology. And that is based on not the individual, say, sellers. It is based on the study of the entire market and maybe some research and some third-party independent research organizations who are helping in doing this activity and supporting to the buyers, like you can names like Forrester or Gartner, etc., who are in this field and they do study, and in each area they tell that, okay, these are the vendors who are in the magic quadrant or they are in very advanced stage. They have a long-term vision. They are having the product very matured state. So based on that, you select that, okay, I will choose. I'm just giving example that I will choose, for example, Oracle Financials, or I will do Siebel CRM, I will take database as Oracle, or I will do, say, DB2 for my data warehouse. So all these components are frozen based on the research, and it is done not only once, it is continuously also made up to date by continuously reading and studying the market, which is continuously changing because new vendors are also coming, new products are also coming. Maybe somebody was very good at one point of time and lost the market. Somebody new has come. So it is part of a continuous evolution of the architecture. And then comes the real procurement. So once the architecture is frozen, then you go to the procurement, and for that one has to decide that who are my vendors, who will be allowed to participate in this. So anybody and everybody is not allowed in this, because this is also called vendor qualifying process, in which we have a mechanism of understanding that, because I said that it is having business impact, it has a long-term, say, impact on the business decision. So therefore the important element is who is the vendor who can be seen as a long-term partner.
It's time for a short break. VP was explaining that qualifying a vendor as a potential long-term partner is key to the final decision. I asked him, when does this phase of identifying vendors and qualifying them start vis-a-vis the entire buying cycle? We will continue after the break. Stay with us.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host and founder of PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. Right before the break, I asked VP, when does this phase of identifying vendors and qualifying them start vis-a-vis the entire buying cycle? This is what he had to say about it. Listen in. What stage is this of the buying decision? Suppose it's a 7-month process or a 10-month process to do this entire architecture and getting internal buy-in, filling out the specs. Suppose it's 1 to 10. 10 is when you actually place the order and start happening. When does this vendor qualifying process start?
These are done always in parallel, because these are the two cycles. I say there are two cycles running in parallel. One is the procurement process, which is having a process of finally actually buying, placing order, and now we are doing 3-year contract or 5-year contract, but more than 5-year contract, because we also know that the changes may happen in 2 years or 3 years time. So most of the contracts are mostly now 3 years. Earlier sometime we were doing up to say 10 years also, some of the outsourcing contract. But now seeing the changes which are happening at such a fast pace, that the technology, the tools, everything is changing. So it has been reduced, that it has been made to only 3 years, or maximum if something is there, it will be 5 years. Okay. So that is a strategy. But the architecture part is a one track, which you continuously, there is a back-end activity which is happening. So as soon as something is getting over, maybe about, say, 1 year time is taken. What you are asking is, suppose my contract is expiring about, say, in 2022. So I will wake up for this contract in 21 itself.
Right.
For starting the RFP process. And which is called the discovery of the vendors. And within that, who will be the vendors? That will be about, say, 2 to 3 months process if you are trying to find out some new vendors. So discovery will take about 3 months process. That, okay, let us go into the market and try to find out if I have my some known 2 vendors, but I want to identify whether in this 3 years something has changed and I want to bring back from the market if somebody has come up in this 3 years, or somebody what I have, I want to get an alternative, not to drop immediately at this moment, but let us explore in the market, and if find something, then maybe I can get the new one here, or maybe the strategy of maybe dropping somebody, or maybe equally dividing the business so that you again run for some time, and then if you find the other one is running well, so it's like a piloting, and then after that awarding the contract.
Sure.
But entire process about a year. If it is mostly, these are big contracts for 3 years. So, I mean, the vendor identification, if it is 3 months, then complete RFP process, getting their, say, responses, then multiple rounds of qualification, because I told it is mostly the service type of requirement. It needs to be very clearly defined what services are expected. And then service level agreements. So, again, there are 2 types of say services which are coming into force now. One is where it is mostly the IT operations. So the IT operations buy, which is like support of database, support of ERP, support of hardware, etc. It is called IT operations. That IT operations should run correctly and it should give the maximum uptime. So there the SLAs are mostly on the uptime guarantees, or how much is acceptable, say, in a month or in a year downtime, which is mutually agreed, and based on that you are able to give that mechanism. So that is called service level agreement, which is mostly defined on for IT operation. But the other one is the business type of engagement, which is a business consulting engagement, where you are engaging some business consultants for improving the business processes, improving business outcomes. So there the SLAs are mostly outcomes of the business. Like, I want to reduce my inventory by so much. I want to increase my sales by so much percentage. So there the definition of the SLA is the outcome, and the business has to understand and the vendor has to understand that if they are going to bid, they are bidding not what activities they will do, but what outcome they will achieve.
Right.
So when business outsourcing or business consulting kind of engagement is there, the vendors have to understand what is the outcome they have to deliver, and then tie up that with the activities they will perform. So they will not be measured on the activities.
Right.
I mean, for day-to-day action activities, that you are supposed to do this, you are supposed to do some meeting or some workshop or do some analysis, etc. But finally, the payment comes into the business outcome. But if it is IT operation type of contracting, then it is service level agreement.
Right.
There also activities are defined. But right. Starting point is the service level agreement, which is measured on monthly basis, quarterly basis, or half yearly basis, and then yearly basis. And the payment terms and the penalty clauses are linked to the service level agreements. The detailed definition of activities, what will be performed, the responsibilities, what vendor will do, what customers will do, all that is detailing part. So those are means to achieve that, but not the end to what is the contracting.
My question is that there's a third kind of purchasing, which is the plants and machinery kind of thing, where you are not directly involved. But how are those processes different from these two?
But plant and machinery, we are not directly involved. Yeah, that is different because when you are buying the plants, then there is some, say, IT and automation components are also purchased, because no plants are coming without any IT or instrumentation and automation. So now, earlier it used to come and then all the IT systems or systems were retrofitted into that. But now those days are gone. Now when the plant comes, it comes with all those, just like you buy a car, the car has a GPS now by say design. It has what all those gadgets, audio system, all comes interconnected. Even the health monitoring system also is in the car, and then you can get all the health parameters, the tire pressure and then engine oil, everything is automated. So same way when you are buying a manufacturing plant, at that time all these elements are also part of it, but that is handled by a different engineering say team, which is specializes in the setting up the plant. And within that, if there are electrical engineers, mechanical groups, design groups, then there is also IT and automation group, which provides the specification and detailing of what they want the automation level in that plant and how it integrate with the backend system which is already existing. Because if you are going for any system, already some existing systems are already in place, so they should be able to interconnect with that and able to connect to that. Like suppose I have ERP system SAP today and we are buying a new plant somewhere, so the interfaces etc. is thought so that when it is purchased and the plant is commissioned, so it is not the plant is commissioned, it started manufacturing, but the manufacturing inventory is not coming into the SAP system. So it will also part of that. So project execution means that it is having all the components, power supply, everything, and also IT system becomes part and parcel of it.
What happens if a vendor wants to reach out at this point? How do they know when you are ready to buy, and they, how can they come and say, you know what, we have an extremely innovative system which can totally change the way you are working and give you so much of savings, or can help you speed up certain processes and so on. How does an unidentified vendor get an entry into the process?
There could be two methods. One is the vendor comes and he tells that I have great things but says nothing, and he says that I can do wonders, you give me the opportunity. Then mostly nothing is done. But if somebody comes with concrete example that I have done this, I have this solution, he is selling the solution. So if somebody comes with a proposition that this is how you can make money, or you can save cost, or you can improve your revenue, then it is a different category, and then it is say given opportunity. And in that, we have called a new technology introduction. That is called introduction of the new technology. And in that, there is another surface approach is done. That first, understand and evaluate on paper, then do a POC, and then do a pilot, and then a large scale implementation. The example I gave of this Tata Communication, the IoT for the safety of the employees, this was one of the examples of this scenario, what you have just asked. This exercise of trial, improvement, trial, and multiple cycles happened about 2 years. And then it came to a scale where it was possible to implement in a plant for, say, maybe 100 of them. And then after that, for running for 4 months, it was found that now it works. It gives all the results. And in the not in the lab, it is running actually in the plant. Now we can scale it up to, say, a quantity of about 1 lakh, say, contract workers. So such things are also, many examples are there where people have come with their, say, solutions. And sometimes vendors also come. What happens is two-way communication. Sometimes, as you mentioned, some vendor comes that I'm interested in selling something. I want to have a business with this company, and we are doing some business somewhere else, and I want to sell this, this, this. So what happens that the other side, the buyer side, the person starts exploring that whether he has got something and he's not able to communicate, but he has got something which could be useful at, say, our point of, say, solution. And also sometimes we have the list of all the identified, say, opportunities or problems, but we don't have any solution. So what we also do, or we have been doing, is annually, with all the partners, we used to have a session telling that what is my strategy for this year, what are the things which are of regular nature, and what are the areas where we want to do something new this time. So if anybody is interested, can come in and provide the solution. So that is also one way of exploring, the running business. The vendors are given the opportunity to also come in.
Where do you see this headed? I mean, how do you see procurement panning out over the following, say, 5 years? How is it going to change going forward?
See, mostly now, most of the IT operations, that is going to change drastically, because most of the things are now going into the cloud and mostly service oriented. People are working from home, so there will be a major change. The services of IT, until it is very specialized, which is created only for that organization, most of the things will become mostly available on the tap. So it could be any kind of application, whether it is a communication, which is Office 365 or any kind of solution, ERP, etc., which will be in the cloud and maybe per use basis. And the organizations, they need not have their teams of running the infrastructure. So even that organizational change may happen, that they will become more of a strategy, business transformation type people, and putting more efforts in identifying the kind of solution which you asked, the last one, that identifying new opportunities, not the run of the mill, which is already operational and you can buy from the utility. So what are the unique solutions which one has to create? Maybe one has to tie up with the startup company. So this is a new thing which is happening. The companies are now working with the startup, again, to address what you have asked the question, the last one, that the new opportunities, or somebody is doing a startup, they have thought about something very unique. And so if you have a mechanism of connecting with them, so it will not be the earlier type of buying, which is like transactional or strategic buying. Now it will be more of innovative buying, where you have to have some mechanism of continuous connect with the startups, so that there is a two-way communication happening. By startup, you can get something and you try what is useful at your place, or you can tell them, this is my pain point or this is my opportunity for improvement, and can you do something for me? So rather than the vendor panel of IT operations, which is mostly will be service based contracts, maybe for 5 years, 10 years, and most of the things should be running as usual, and then mostly people have to worry about what you make different, how you make your business different. And this may be the difference of working of procurement, and also the organization IT units also will become different. Even the business leaders will also have to be different, that they have to start thinking about IT. Earlier they used to say that, oh, IT department will do this thinking, this is not my job. But now the role has changed, that the business has to think. So IT and business is so intertwined that it is not separable anymore. So even IT's teams are now becoming sometimes business leaders, or even business leaders are having the IT component so much that they have to think about it. So this could be a new norm of buying more innovative solutions, and the procurement mechanisms on that may be more of now try and buy, and not maybe long term, because the earlier which I talked about was that it will be 5 year contract, 10 years contract. Because in the innovative things, it may be that it gives you value in 6 months time, so you cannot have the cycle of buying itself of 1 year. So you do something in 1 month, get the value in the next 5 months, and then go for the next one.
The Buyer Side Chat is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink enables high-quality interactions between buyers and sellers through presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create personalized sales presentations and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversation. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 650-847-5884. That is 650-847-5884.
Fantastic. So, VP, this is great chatting with you. I think I would love to sort of dig deeper into specifics that you mentioned today. I think it's a great starting point, and I will actually look forward to talking to you more.
Thank you very much. It was very nice speaking to you, and you also gave some questions by which, if I was missing something, it came immediately into this talk. And this should be quite helpful for the IT units, the business, as well as the startups and the regular vendors as well.
Right. Thank you very much. We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations with Slav Vasilevsky, Head of Procurement IT and Digital and Sourcing Strategy Expert, and Philip Eidson, founder of Art of Procurement, and many others, unraveling in depth how the real buyers buy. Stay tuned.
My wishful thinking is to have a distributed contract, smart contract, which interacts both with multiple parties, which interacts with the research parties, with the benchmarking parties, with the suppliers, with the internal governance bodies, all the parties that I have to deal with when I put together a contract for the negotiation, and which will not be locked, but which would have moving parts throughout the life of the contract itself, and would automatically adjust and self-execute. That is my vision, because to have a contract that is that delivers constantly high value is very difficult and at times impossible. By the time you sign the contract, something else has changed in the market or internally or within the supply organization, and you're locked into what you have. So how do you make it always moving and adjusting itself? That would be my nirvana.
Thank you for being with us today on the Buyer Side Chat. This is the podcast of record for the buyer side journey. And those who know, that's the journey that matters. We hope this conversation helped you with insights that you can go and apply right now to your own value transaction process. See you in the next episode of the Buyer Side Chat.